Off the ball, rugby.
Your face popped up on the big screen and
a couple of boos.
There wasn't a couple of boos, there was a resounding boos, but that's the ultimate compliment, you know? Let's not get sensitive about this is what happened.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koi Gig Podcast. I am Kathleen McNamee and I am here with the one and only Captain Karen Duggan to take you through all the action from the weekend in what was a very exciting Champions League weekend. I don't think anyone expected such excitement. We will have Emma Carroll back with our WSL Team of the Week a little bit later on, and we will be joined by Gold's Amy Rushkai to look at that Champions League semi-final between Barcelona and Chelsea, and then also look at the WSL fixtures as well. But Karen, I saw it was a bit of a goal fest for you guys this weekend.
Yeah, that was worth it. We need to make the trip up north worth it. So yeah, it was good. It was good to get a couple of the young girls got their debuts as well. So it's great in a game like that to blood them, because as you know, there's been a lot of injuries this year. So we are looking to the younger teams to kind of supplement us, and they did a great job. So that was the main positive we would have taken from yesterday, and it was a sunny day, so can't complain.
It was a great day. I know you said before that with that competition, like, it's kind of more difficult for you guys compared to some of the teams in that you don't have maybe as much depth as them, but did you find that at the weekend it was beneficial having the space for those young players?
Yeah, it was good, because like I said, we're going to have to use the younger players as the season goes on. That's definitely a given, something we probably didn't expect to do. It's good competition as well in terms of giving squad players playing time, because as you know, like, season runs March to nearly November, you'd be doing very well to have a consistent starting 11 across that, and it gives teams opportunities to try new things. Obviously, we were off the back of a hard defeat to Athlone. We had to regroup during the week. We have to look at ourselves. We have to try new things. So this competition is perfect for that. It's better than any training session or in-house match you're going to do, is seeing how you get on in a competitive game. So there's definitely benefits to it. I know that there was kind of talk as well at the start of the season whether it would be better to play a third round of league games and maybe split it top and bottom, and that would be a better use. But you know, there's a lot of quality in those Northern Ireland teams, and it's good to see that as well. I think in time we probably will need to look at a third round of fixtures. You know, two is quite little, and it means if you have a bad patch, it can at the start of the season, it can really write you off for the rest of the season. That's how fine the margins are when you're only playing a two round league. But again, that'll come with time. We just have to kind of get on with it and see the benefits of it as it is at the moment, and that's what we got from it yesterday, to be honest.
And you've the dominant Golyov at home this weekend, which I'm sure you're really excited for.
Yeah, but like I say, if you're going to have to play the teams at some point, obviously we would have preferred it be a few weeks down the line when we've more girls back from injury, but you know, that's not Galway's fault. They've hit the ground running in a way that we haven't, so we have to go into that game with a lot of respect for what they're going to bring to the table, but we need to find a way to bounce back if we're going to compete. So the onus is on us to do that and put in a good week's training. And you know, we had a good week last week. You know, that's the good thing about the squad, is that you know, haven't gotten down on ourselves because of we're not reaching the heights of last season. We know that was, you know, completely special, and it was always going to be hard to replicate it, particularly with the injuries. But we still want to fight for it, and we have to go into it with that mentality. You know, at the end of the day, Galway are still the challengers, and we need to, you know, respect them, but hopefully not fear them. But we'll see how the week pans out. We're kind of taking everything week by week at the moment. That's all we can do.
Well, it's not the worst way to take things, to be fair, especially with the position you're in terms of injuries. I think if you went too far ahead with some of the results you've had, you'd probably lose your heads a little bit, which isn't going to help you in the long term.
No fear of that. Absolutely no fear of that. But I know Galway will feel the same, that they know that they're going through a good patch and they're going to try and keep up consistency, which is a huge thing. Like I said, if there's only two rounds of leagues and you can get through the first round pretty much unscathed as they have so far, things will be looking really good for you. It's hard to claw back those points in the latter half of the season. So, you know, more power to them. I think they are reaping the rewards of a lot of hard work that they put in the previous season, where maybe they weren't quite on the right side of results, but played really good football. And now they're turning that into impressive results. And their scorelines have been very, very impressive. So their conversion rate is very high. So that's something we have to look at as well, as just like limiting those chances. They have a lot of pace up front, which I'm not looking forward to having to deal with. But again, horses for courses. We might switch things around. If we had a few Jetta barrels, it would help. But yeah, let's see how that goes.
Well, hopefully in the coming months, things will improve a little bit for you as things go.
How are you feeling after Sligo yesterday, just to turn things around? I know this is a soccer podcast, but
that's me. How are you? So nice.
We had a little GA segment last week with the Scorts. I thought I'd continue in that vein this week as well. Yeah.
This is true. I was utterly devastated. I was sitting in Merrion Square listening to it because I wasn't at home for the weekend on Ocean FM. And I just had this like horrible feeling in my stomach, even though Sligo had been winning for the whole game, that Galway were going to come back and score. And the fact they did it the way they did, and your man did the Cole Palmer celebration afterwards, it was so, I didn't particularly expect, if they did get to the Connacht final, that they'd be able to put up a similar performance against the likes of Mayo, but it would have been an absolutely massive scrap to do that against Galway, considering, you know, a lot of people had them as title contenders at the start of the season. I think those people were maybe a little bit naive as to what Dublin is going to do, but yeah. It was very painful, Karen, and it's very difficult being a Sligo supporter, because you don't get many opportunities.
It was a good weekend to be an Arsenal supporter.
It was a good weekend to be an Arsenal supporter. I needed it after the last couple of weeks because they haven't been treating me so well as of late. But it was a great weekend of sport in general. I mean, apart from the women's rugby team getting absolutely annihilated, there was a lot of very good matches on, like the Champions League finals that we're going to chat to Amy about in a little bit. Those were brilliant. Lots of goals in those. Well, not in the Chelsea one, but and same with the league. We have secured that Champions League spot, so I can't really complain too much about Arsenal for once. And we had Jessie Stapleton scoring her first goal as well for Reading and keeping them up, which was very big in the Championship.
Yeah, it was a big round of fixtures in the Championship. All right. It is exciting. I think it's a league I need to start paying more attention to, because, you know, it has a few bolters every year, which is great to see.
Yeah, it's kind of very similar to the men's side when it comes to that. Mm.
Sometimes you're like, does anyone want to win this? Or what's going on?
It's a bit different for them in that they have they have the playoffs, and for the women, there's only one team that actually ends up going up compared to three in the men's side. But it's just like the teams just go up and down constantly, and you never really know what's going to happen. So it was thoroughly enjoyable. And also we're seeing more and more of our Irish crew playing down there as well. So even from that perspective alone, it's going to be important to keep attention to it, to see how players are doing. Well, obviously, we'd prefer players to be more playing in the WSL, but nothing wrong if they're playing regular competitive football too.
Absolutely. No, more people. I do think that that's going to be a league that is hugely important for our international team, just with how attractive the WSL has become to European players. And I think especially if Chelsea can manage the Champions League, it's only going to grow and grow and grow. And we have to be realistic then that a lot of our girls wanting to play professional might not quite be at that standard. So it will be looking a lot towards the Championship and hoping that can continue to help us progress in the international scene.
Well, it's going the same way as the men's game did when it came to this. And you look at the sort of players that we used to have competing regularly in the Premier League, and now we just don't have that at all in the same way. So I think that's what's going to happen. And I think that maybe if they expand the WSL, you might see a few more teams going up and maybe a few more Irish players competing at those sort of levels. But I would definitely enjoy Katie McCabe playing at one of the best clubs out there while we can, because I, unlike even Tara O'Hanlon when she gets her chance at City, all those sort of things, because I do think it's going to be more infrequent than we've become used to, which is a shame, but also it's an incentive for us as well to improve our pathways here. Karen's face, like, but she's like, yes, home.
Yeah, I wait for that opportunity to get that in every week. Yeah. You did my job for me this week, Kathleen.
I know, if anyone's listening to this and they want to play Koi Gig Bingo, that should definitely be your main tiles. But no, it is going to get more and more important. And if we want to continue the success of the national side, probably need to be a bit realistic about that as well. I also think we need to get more realistic about players going beyond England, because it's not something that a lot have done for continuous times. You know, it's been maybe a season here or half a season there. But I do think there's a lot of value to be had in the likes of La Liga, Serie A, Feminine, yeah, all those places, Ligue 1 as well.
And it's important then that the senior management and the FAI can shift their mindset to see how important those leagues will be as well, and that they give those the respect that they probably would give the countries closer to home as well, and they make the effort to continue to just stay in touch with what's going on. You know, it's all powerful.
Yeah, exactly, because if you can get players playing consistently in top leagues across Europe, that's going to be really beneficial. And I think it's something they didn't really encourage as much on the men's side, and we're seeing maybe some of the downsides of that now. So I'm not saying they should all leave and fly the nest or anything, but I do think a bit of a mindset shift would be good in that. But we should discuss this all a little bit more with Amy later on. For now, we are going to turn our attention to our team of the week. Now, I'm delighted to say that Emma Carroll is back with us with the team of the week. Emma, take it away.
Drum roll, please. Courtney Brosnan in goal. Maybe Zinsberg goes in with a shout, but, you know, very important points for Everton. And if my maths are correct, it would mean Bristol have to win all their games in order for Everton not to be safe. So it pretty much saves Everton's season. For the back, Emily Fox, Amy James-Turner, Steph Catley and Leila Uwabi. His Spurs duo in midfield, Kit Graham and Matilda Vinberg, Beth Mead, Jess Park, Lauren Hemp, just behind Bunny Shaw.
I am shocked, as always, to see Bunny Shaw in there.
Oh, I know, yeah. Let's hope the injury isn't too bad.
Yeah, I mean, 45 minutes and I still have absolutely no argument against her being in Team of the Week. She was just that good. The goals that she scored, like, just there's nothing a defender can do. They actually were close enough to her. She just has the physical presence to shrug people off. And the way she attacked the ball for the headed goal was fantastic. So yeah, Bunny Shaw, player of the year.
Ooh, probably,
potentially.
Yeah,
like I can't really think of anyone else that's been as influential as her.
I think at this stage, Haaland will have to be going around the training ground asking for some tips. So,
yeah, she has more about him.
Well, I saw a stat over the weekend that she's averaging a goal every 66 minutes this season, and she's 8 off the second highest goal scorer in the league ever.
Yeah, I think it's 50 goals in 57 games or something like that. So,
yeah, and only Miedema has reached that quicker than her. And she's already down in the books as a WSL legend. So, yeah, she's unstoppable at the moment and is probably herself and Hemp and Park, the way they're playing, is what's making me tip towards Man City a little bit at this time. But anyway, let's get back to your team. Strange that you have four defenders in. Usually we sort of have two in, but yeah, I think that's fair. I really enjoy Emily Fox. I think she adds a lot to the Arsenal team just in terms of, like, Arsenal play a lot of nice football. She just brings a kind of directness that I really like watching. And Catley was really good, obviously, for the goal she set up for Russo. Just desire. I for my Man United head, maybe would have put Letizia in just because of how much she wanted to get that equaliser as well, and how willing she was to put herself on the line. But it's probably
spores,
fair.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Probably fair.
Cutting for spores or else cutting for Liverpool, because that would have been a nice draw to leave Liverpool in fourth place. So, yeah, I thought Vinberg was really good as well. Only signed for Spurs in January. Looked really good. She only, I think, played 65, 70 minutes. I think once she went off, that was kind of when Spurs started to slack off and United really got a bit more of a foothold in the game as well. So I think she had a big impact, especially when they were missing Grace Clinton as well because of the loan lock.
Yeah. And I was just looking at like Beth Mead and how assured her finishes are and what she adds to the team. And it kind of makes you think, obviously with Williamson as well, had they been ever present at the start of the season, would Arsenal be more in touch with the top two? I know it's if some buts and maybes, but when you see them kind of at full tilt and they'd Mead, Manham back on the bench as well, it's a bit of a what if for them. But then everyone's had to navigate injuries as well. I mean, Chelsea are without Sam Kerr. They're doing okay.
Millie Bright as well.
And so. Millie Bright. Yeah. So
I actually think Millie Bright has been more of an issue for Chelsea than Sam Kerr is. I think they have the goals in them. It's that defensive solidity that they've maybe missed a little bit more.
Especially when you look at the performance Nusken put in for Chelsea at the weekend. I mean, she dominated the box, really. She was really, really intelligent and really integral to how Chelsea played. So, yeah. I think you're probably right there that Millie Bright is the big loss for them there. Good team, Emma. Good team.
It's not bad. It was a decent weekend of football, to be honest. I think, you know, McCabe had a good game as well. Like when she plays on the left, she's just so much more impactful for Arsenal as well than on the right. And she had her shirt tucked back in. So, you know, that's always a positive.
All is well with the world again.
I was going to ask for an update on a shirt gig, because I actually hadn't paid attention to it myself. And I was only when I was sitting down to record this, so I was like, well, how was her shirt? You'll be happy to know, Karen, that it was our top performing clip, as I said. I think like every single thing did about 20,000 views on TikTok and Instagram compared to the other ones. So no surprise that was our favorite thing.
It was obviously just a once off, so that's good to see.
Yeah, she listened to the podcast and she was like, damn, better not let the girls down again in the way that I had. Was there any position on the pitch that you struggled with when you were putting together your team?
I think they are probably the best performance of the weekend. I think Covisto for Liverpool probably had a good game as well. Centre-back could have been in with an honourable mention. And then, as I said, Zinsberger made a couple of decent saves for Arsenal as well. But yeah, I put our girl in there first.
Just give her a nice confident boost ahead of Sweden.
I think she might be one of the most underrated goalkeepers in the league, to be honest. Like behind your Hamptons and your Earps, Courtney Brosnan is just outstanding.
Do you think that a team higher up the table would be looking at her at this point?
I think they should be. I don't know if they are, but I think she's definitely a keeper. That, like even Izzy Christensen said it a couple of
weeks ago.
She's definitely a keeper. Izzy Christensen was saying that about like goalkeepers that she felt safe playing behind her, and Courtney was like there. So when you think about the teams that Izzy Christensen has played in, then she should be able to show.
I think Everton should do everything they can to hang on to her, because they are a team that you can see improving, but obviously good goalkeeper is always going to be central to that. We saw it last season with Leicester. Their keeper essentially kept them in the league. So
I think it's a good point for
Everton to start holding on to players if they're going to build.
I would love to see her in a setup like a City or even an Arsenal. Like if I had the option between Courtney and Zinsberger, I would take Courtney all day long, I think. I think she has, I'm absolutely cursing myself and herself in this, but I think she has less mistakes in her than Zinsberger does.
You said it out loud now.
I know. It's far enough away from everything that it's fine.
Yeah. Watch Everton season implode now.
Yeah. Well, if it's for Everton, I don't mind.
Yeah.
That's fine. One thing about Courtney is, compared to Zinsberger, is that she catches the ball. Like, she's so commanding in the box. And Zinsberger sometimes She flaps, just punches it away. And it just deflects, and she might have got a touch, and she's like, oh my God, where's the goal? And it's gone back out for a shot, or it's randomly popped over her head and bobbled off into the goal. So, yeah.
Courtney, I would back that. Emma, thank you very much for doing your team as always. It was a pleasure. Oh, actually, Emma, to ask you thoughts and feelings on the Champions League win over the weekend.
I wasn't in the Champions League.
Sorry,
wrong Emma. That was Emma Hayes, you know. very impressive. I thought Emma won the tactical battle, hands down. It's going to be very interesting to see what Barcelona do on the second leg.
I don't think Barcelona are the type of team to change their approach too much.
You wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
Chelsea now have the little head start, so. Although they always struggle at Stamford Bridge, so you never know.
I know, I half forgot when that game was over that it was over two legs and got overexcited and then realised that we still had to watch Stamford Bridge and suffer through that. But
I look forward to that. It was the end of the Lyon game, though, as well. It was like the end of the Lyon game was just like so mental. And then you're kind of going, oh, yeah, this is, they're celebrating like they've gone through, but they have a whole other leg to go. It's just half time.
Yeah. I wouldn't say no to a little Lyon Chelsea final. That'd be quite good. Emma, thank you very much. We shall chat to you again next week.
Cheers.
I'm delighted to say that we are joined by lead women's football writer Whip Football Co, Amy Rushkai. Amy, welcome to the podcast. An exciting weekend of European football was had. Barcelona beaten for the first time on their home ground since 2019, and then also an absolute whopper of a game in the other tie as well, full of goals.
Yeah, some weekend. I was thinking when PSG were 2-0 up, you'd have found a brave soul to have backed Chelsea, PSG to be the Champions League final, and then PSG kind of proved why it would have been a brutal.
Yeah, they unfortunately didn't manage to get past, although they do still have that second leg. Just in terms of Chelsea, what was it exactly, from your perspective, that Emma Hayes got sort of right and managed to fight off the demons that have been Barcelona for Chelsea over the last couple of seasons?
I think it was a game plan. And I think even when the team was announced, when the lineup came out, I was, you know, looking at it, thinking, not, you know, have they got the right protection sort of out wide for Barcelona here? Because it looked like, you know, a kind of normal iteration of their usual formation. And then the way they lined up and Ashley Lawrence's role, I think she in particular was probably the best player on the pitch on the day for me, just in that sort of left wing back role, but absolutely, you know, putting the miles in up and down that left wing to get forward, to be an outlet, to get back, to offer protection, you know, and again and again and again. I think just they managed to sort of contain Barcelona from a defensive perspective, but still got up the pitch and created their own opportunities, which it sounds so simple, but if it was that easy, then people would do it all the time. It was just the perfect game plan and the players executed it perfectly, really.
And do you think with the narrative that's been around Chelsea over the last couple of weeks, and Emma Hayes in particular, and you know, how this team has been dealing with injuries, it seemed like a weird time for them to pull this out of the hat, but also made perfect sense at the same time?
Yeah, it was strange because, you know, a week earlier, you know, I'd said that I didn't think that Chelsea had a great game plan when they went to Manchester United and lost in the Cup. You know, they found themselves 2-1 down and, you know, we're just sort of throwing players on and wasn't really any sort of formula to it. And then fast forward a week and, you know, you're looking at this perfect game plan, perfect tactics, perfect execution. But I think, like you say, it's kind of that write them off at your peril, right? You know, two back-to-back cup defeats. And then they go into, you know, Barcelona, who haven't lost at home in 5 years. Of course they're not going to win, but of course they did. That's just, it's the beauty of football.
Karen, Amy said there that you would have to be a brave person to have said it was going to be PSG and Chelsea winning at the weekend. How brave do you need to be to give them the upper hand in Stamford Bridge next week, or this week I should say?
I always find it hard to bet against Chelsea because we've seen them so often find a way under Emma Hayes, and do I think that they're better than Barcelona? Probably not. Do I think that they were more willing to, like Amy said, put in the miles and sacrifice certain individual aspects of their games, whereas Barcelona did not do that. Barcelona went out and said, I'm better than you, I'll take you on. There wasn't really any coherence to how they played. So I'm not sure if that'll be a lesson for Barcelona or if Barcelona are too assured of themselves to change their game plan. Having seen what I've seen in the first leg, I wouldn't put it beyond Chelsea to go through now. But I still think Barcelona-Lyon is the final, like, that I anticipated before these. And a 1-0 win isn't really enough to sway me just yet.
I feel like you need the Lyon-Chelsea final, though, just for the pure narrative behind it. You know, Emma Hayes outgoing, Sonia Baumpasser looking like the most likely person to take over from her. In terms of a tactical masterclass, it would be so interesting, Amy, to see how the two managers go up against each other. You know, is it a case where Pep Ball comes in and the two of them completely overthink it and we get a higgledy-piggledy game, or will it be like one of the possibly best tactical games we've ever seen?
I mean, yeah, I think whatever final we get as well will just be so interesting, because there's just some sort of narrative that's so interesting, isn't there? Like, you know, if it's a Barca-Lyon rematch, you know, if it's Chelsea trying to, you know, win it on Emma Hayes's, you know, kind of goodbye, if it's PSG trying to win it for the first time, like, there's so many things that are so interesting that, like, from a neutral, I do not care who's in that final. I just want to watch that final, because I think whatever happens, there's something there that's so interesting and from both sides.
Amy's like, just skip the next round of fixtures. Just someone put their hand in a bowl and pick out two names. And we'll
as a neutral, though, I want to see loads of goals and chaos. And I think, like, Barcelona and Lyon, I think whoever Chelsea would be more, like, structured in their approach, and they'll have a great game plan and they'll nullify the opposition. But I want to see the chaos that we saw in the semi-final as a neutral and someone who doesn't have to analyze games for, like, journalistic purposes. I just want to be entertained.
Karen, what are you talking about? This is journalism. I mean, we talked about Katie McCabe's shirt last week. What more highbrow can you get? So, Amy, if you were to call it now, what would be your Champions League final?
See, I think Chelsea put themselves in a really good position. And one of the things I said before the first leg was, if they can just take it to Stamford Bridge and, you know, still be in the tie, then they have a real shot. But having watched how poor Barcelona were on Saturday, they cannot be that poor again. Like, we're talking about probably the best team in the world, and you just think, like, they're not going to be that bad again. I really, really do not know. I think Lyon, probably I would give the edge to Lyon in the other final, just because I feel like they've got in the other semi-final, sorry, just because I feel like they almost have PSG's number in terms of, like, doesn't even have to be in terms of quality and tactics nowadays. It feels like mentally they just have that over PSG in a way, like the way PSG crumbled. So I think it will be Lyon in the final. But I honestly just cannot call it at all.
It's great, though, that we've got to the stage where you do have four teams that are so competitive with each other that, you know, you can't. It's incredibly difficult if you were to absolutely put your life on the line and say this is exactly how it's going to be. It just probably won't be that. To turn attentions a little bit closer to home, and Karen, you brought up Sligo earlier, so I'm going to bring up Manchester United first. 2-2, my Letizia popping up for you. Your old pal Rachel Williams coming onto the pitch as a last minute ditch attempt to win. What were you feeling after this game against Spurs? Kind of an important one.
Important in that the goals that they conceded were so poor. And knowing that United are a bit liable to do this. I mean, for the second one, just miscommunication, I guess, between Mary Earps and Mannion, and then just not getting their press right and giving Naz a free shot, you know. They'll have to be a lot more, I don't know if it was a lack of respect, but a lot more tuned in. Because Spurs can be dangerous. They have the players to hurt you, and they showed that. And yeah, very, very lucky to get out of that with a point. Very, very lucky. Very lucky.
I mean, it's the sixth goal that United have scored after the 90th minute mark. So they are becoming
worse. Fergie time is real. It's universal. Karen,
I don't think you want another FA Cup extra time after everything that happened on Sunday on the men's side of things. So we hopefully won't put you through that with Spurs. Amy, we've talked a lot on the podcast about this Manchester United team and what they need and what they are potentially missing. But from your side, what would that be?
It's just consistency, isn't it? If you look at the difference between Manchester United and the three teams, you know, in the European places right now, you know, it's so rare that Manchester City, Arsenal, or Chelsea drop points against a team outside of, you know, those three and Man United. It's Man United, you know, at one point this season, they'd drop points in as many games as they'd won in the league. Like, just silly. It's just silly mistakes and just, like, bit of consistency. And I don't know, it's so strange because you can go from watching them the way they were against Chelsea the other week and you just thought, you know, this result that you pulled off, the way you've played, is fantastic. And then, you know, you come to the Spurs game and this is a game that, you know, for them to be in the position they want to be, they should be winning. And it's just that kind of final step, which is so hard to... This is why nobody's sort of broken that big three consistently, I guess, in the WSL, because that final step is so hard. It comes down to a lot of different things, I think, but, you know, it's one thing that they really need to address moving forward, just getting that consistency and whether that's, you know...
I think it's because they don't really have a set style of play. Like, if they played the way they played against Chelsea all the time and were so difficult to break down and were so, like... aggressive in their press, but sometimes they go out and play and they're not playing with intensity and invite pressure on themselves. It's that inconsistency in their style as well, obviously, isn't helping, I don't think.
Yeah, I think as well when they played, because when they went to the Emirates earlier this season, I said to Matt Skinner, I was like, you know, do you want to... It was at that point where Arsenal were really struggling to break blocks down. And I was like, are you tempted to sort of sit and, you know, catch them on the counter and stuff? And he was kind of talking about how you want to play on your own terms as Manchester United. I think when they played against Chelsea, they kind of conceded that, look, we aren't going to have it on our own terms and this is the best way to victory. And I think just doing that a little bit more sometimes you're going to win ugly. You don't always have to be at your best. But I think the difference between them and those, like you said, the top three is that when they play these smaller teams, so to speak, they will beat them. And I think that, yeah, I think you are right in terms of the style. There's not like, oh, that kind of pattern that's always going to produce a result maybe. And that's something that they just haven't refined under Skinner.
Amy, you were watching the other Manchester big win for them. What was the mood music like out of Gareth Taylor after that game?
Yeah, it was a little bit weird because the Bunny Shaw thing was so strange, the injury, because... Mm-hmm. I don't know what a lot of us in the press box were doing, because when you watch it on the BBC, when I watched the replay back, it's so over, the camera's on her, she's limping off, she's got medical attention. And at full time, there was I was like, was I the only one that missed that she went off? And everybody else in the press box was like, yeah, I didn't see it either. So I don't know what was going on actually in the game at that moment. It must have been a distraction with them taking the kick or something. But yeah, I think, to be fair, he said that it was touch and go whether she was going to come back on for the second half. So that makes me think that it's not very serious. Like, you know, if they were playing a cup final, she'd have played on, sort of thing. And, you know, there was the crutches and the moon boot and everything. And everybody's like, oh, but I'm sure you remember Katie McCabe in a very similar situation coming back a week later and scoring. So, you know,
time for us.
Yeah. He was kind of talking about how, you know, that they just do that to offload and stuff. So, It was a strange game because they were really good for 30 minutes. Then they kind of just lulled and then they scored a fourth and they're really good again. I think on the face of it, 5-0, clean sheet, 5 goals to boost the goal difference, 3 points. As long as Bunny Shaw's not suffered, you know, some sort of injury that rules her out for, you know, really longer than a week, then it was a really good day out. But I guess we'll find out in the next few days.
And Rhiann Skinner was quite disappointed afterwards from the quotes that I read. And she's kind of saying something a bit similar to what you were saying about United there and finding that general consistency has been a real issue for them.
Yeah, I think they would, honestly, after the half an hour mark, for the last 15 minutes of the first half and for a good chunk of the second half, they were brilliant. Like, the way they actually played was really good. City's level did drop, but, you know, the way that they kind of cut through, they hit the woodwork 3 times, you know, they should have had 2 goals from other chances as well. Just putting the ball in the back of the net was the problem there. I think... you know, they created plenty and there is the makings of a good team. I think that they just need a manager to kind of have time with that squad and refine it to themselves and the style and everything. Because I think when you look at West Ham, it's a bit of a sort of mishmashy squad. and, you know, a lot of different managers have brought players in. I think if they can just give someone some time to build, they could build something quite good, because they are some, a lot of the players that they bring over to the WSL are really, really good players. It isn't just about moulding them into the right sort of pattern and shape.
They are one of the most frustrating teams to watch when it comes to that, because, as you say, the players are brilliant, but they just haven't been able to maybe tie it all together yet. Karen, you casually dropped into conversation when we were doing our team of the week, despite also saying at the start of this segment that you can never count Chelsea out, that you think City may be the ones to go and do it.
Yeah, I think that there is a potential that Chelsea will put so much into beating Barcelona that it could open up the opportunity for City. I mean, they have the same kind of running, really. And it could come to goal difference. And City are more prolific, I guess, in front of goal, pending that Bunny Shaw is okay. There's a caveat there. If Bunny Shaw is fit, I think they can do it. And it might be on goal difference, which would be mental. It would be a great finish to a season. Not, it would be a horrible way to lose out, but, I mean, it just shows the quality of the two teams. But it's hard to separate them based on their run-in. I think that they'll win the rest of their games, both teams. And then it comes down to goal difference. And I think
how good would a final day shootout of just Bunny Shaw and like the entire Chelsea squad just trying to score as many goals as they possibly could to make sure their goal difference was right?
Yeah, great crack for us again. That's what I want.
We've nothing exciting to get from either of our teams at this stage, so we might as well enjoy it. Someone else.
I think I'll find out.
Well, that's true, actually. I forgot. In the league, nothing left. I will. Who will I cheer in that? That's a difficult one. United and Spurs are possibly the two worst for an Arsenal fan to look at as a, you know, neutral and say that they want either side to win. I just want entertainment. I'll just stick with that for now. Amy, I want to talk to you a little bit about Marie Hoebinger, because she had a great performance at the weekend again, rescuing Liverpool, which is good for them because it means it keeps the pressure on the teams around them. Only 22 years old and has been quite a revelation for Liverpool this season.
You are going to have to repeat that name because it jumped as you said the person.
Hoebinger for Liverpool. I thought you were just going to like say that my pronunciation was totally off, and I was like, that's probably fair as well.
No, you were speaking and everything was fine, and then you said a name and it went. I think she's been one of the signings of the season. I really, really, really like her as a player. I thought she's been really good this season, you know, not just, obviously she scored a great goal at the weekend and nearly had another great goal, but sort of like just her assists, the creativity that she's brought. I think Liverpool have done a really good job with their signings this season generally, the way that they kind of laid a foundation last season and then brought players in that just kind of like elevated them like a little notch up, you know, to the point of where they are now. Yeah, I think she's a really good player and a real steal as well, because I think she could be a good player for, you know, one of the top four teams, top three teams. So for Liverpool to pick up a player like that with, you know, how long they can keep hold of her, who knows? You know, she's young and she's got a lot of potential. She's going to get a lot better, but I think she's a great player. I really enjoyed watching her this season.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching her this season, and I think you're right. Something that Liverpool have struggled with in the past is holding on to those players when they do discover them. And I think, as we were saying about Manchester United and Spurs and all those
teams, United are struggling to recruit players like that, though. That's
that my is also true.
Like, whatever about holding on to them, I don't think that their transfer window last year was in any way good enough.
So. Well, when you look at the players that went out, the level of quality was just immense compared to what's there at the moment. And I suppose if you are going to find that consistency, that's going to be something that needs to change. Does an FA Cup title do much to improve that case? I know it can't really harm it, but I think we have a frozen Karen Duggan there. But Amy, you can answer the question. Does an FA Cup title help United in terms of attracting players, or is it really the league and Champions League football that are the things they need to be focused on?
I think England in general is kind of one of them leagues now where, you know, people sort of think, oh, I want to go play in England. And, you know, four really competitive teams, you know, with Man United were obviously a lot more competitive last season, but four really competitive teams, you know, that you can win a trophy, a lot, you know, there are a lot of players that aren't doing that in other leagues. So I think it is an attractive proposition if you can get it right. And if you can just refine and get back to, you know, really competing at the top of the WSL. I mean, I think I'm really interested to see what happens with Ineos coming in, because, you know, Karen just mentioned transfer windows there, and they've had some really poor transfer windows over the last couple of seasons when you look at the players that they've signed. And it'll be interesting to see if that changes with, you know, Ineos kind of taking over football operations now, or whether it's problems that, you know, continue. Because I think that's a real problem when you go through the players that Manchester United have signed over the last 3 years and you look at who's been a success. There are a lot of them that have not made an impact at all and have, you know, gone within a season, sometimes even less. So that's definitely something they need to refine in terms of the quality of the signings, never mind, you know, trying to be an attractive proposition.
Amy, you were also at the Arsenal game for what was a fairly routine win in the end.
I was not at the Arsenal game. But
it wasn't the Arsenal game. Sorry, I thought it was that one. But
no.
Generally, routine enough win for them. 40,000 plus crowd.
Yeah, good day out. I think what was quite positive was Beth Mead's performance. I think when she came back from her ACL, she kind of was really good straight away, and then her form's kind of dipped slightly, and I think that's perfectly normal for somebody who's coming off the back of an ACL. Like, it takes quite a while for those players to be back to their best level, and I think there can be quite a bit of an excitement for Arsenal in terms of, you look at the players that have come back this season from that ACL and the fact that it does take quite a few months for them to get back to their best. I think next season, to go into that season with those players back and, you know, hopefully kind of reaching top form, will be a real boost, because I don't think people appreciate that as much, you know, how difficult it is for those players to get back to their absolute sort of best after so long out and such a serious injury. So yeah, it's nice to see Mead kind of on really good form.
Mm. Karen, in terms of what Arsenal need to do to be back competing in the way that we expect of a team like that against City and Chelsea, like, is it signings? Is it getting more consistency of the players there? Like, as Amy, you're saying, a lot of the team is coming back from very serious injuries, and that's going to take time to bed back into the squad. Is it trimming the squad a little bit? You know, we've seen Adeval in the past maybe not totally manage having that many players.
No, well, that's a personal thing he needs to get better at. I think that Chelsea showed that depth is key. Yeah, they've been so unfortunate with injuries, so it's obviously looking at that. I think they have the squad to compete. Like, when Arsenal play football, they play really good football. It's the silly points that they start to drop, taking the eye off the ball. Like, that's the difference between Chelsea. Chelsea don't drop as many silly points as Arsenal do. So that's nothing to do with talent or depth of squad. That's simply a mindset and a mentality, and that can either come from within the player or it can be a dressing room thing. And I don't know what's going on there, so I don't know who needs to look at what there, but they have the squad to compete. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
They're really good in the big games as well.
Yeah.
Their big game record this season, and they're really good in the big games. You look at the Conti Cup final, even just in isolation sort of thing. Like, they're right up there with the big teams, but it's a little bit like Manchester United, but obviously not as problematic in terms of that consistency against the teams below them that's sort of been their hindrance this season.
Mm. Well, Amy, thank you very much for joining us and giving us your perspective on everything. I hope you enjoy the Champions League semi-final. And as Karen said earlier, here's to hopefully a bit of chaos ensuing in it, because that would be very enjoyable. Karen, as always, pleasure. Hope you have a nice week and all the prep for Galway goes well. The Corey Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. As always, you can get in touch with us on Twitter or X, if you have managed to start calling it that. I have yet to do so. At the Koi Gig Pod, we're always looking for your thoughts and feelings on any of the games, what you're doing for the Champions League final, how you feel about Emma's team of the week. That's all that we are looking to hear from. So please do get in touch and we will chat to you all very, very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball, in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.